in an accident.
Yeah, likely story. Okay, come on, down to business.
Okay, so. Okay. My dear, good evening. We are working on, with yourself, of course, world history. World present. All right, now, with the advent of various things that have been going on lately now, I need to find out how that is affecting our current situation on a more local level.
Well, on the local level, if you take all the current things going on, for example, the death of Deng Xiaoping, the defection of the Minister of Agriculture for North Korea, it doesn't affect on a local scale anything.
Right.
At the moment. But later on, it could depend on what transpires from these actions.
Now, how about the Dow hitting over 7,000 and climbing?
But that, as I said, is part of my predictions. The higher it goes, the greater the fall.
Mm-hmm. So, could we see a 10,000 Dow?
Possibly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if it reaches 10,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And drops back to 7,000 in a matter of days or weeks, right? What has actually happened?
It's lost a lot.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't lost anything. Let's say you put in to the stock market 10,000 of your dollars, right, at the 7,000 mark.
Correct.
It jumps 33% to 10,000. Right, and then drops, plummets, loses 2,000. How much money have you lost?
Well, I haven't lost anything. It was the people who bought in at 10,000 who were getting soaked.
Correct.
But as we're saying, it's not a point of dropping 2,000. It's a point of dropping 3,000.
Exactly.
You know, going from 10,000 to 3,000.
That's when the difference occurs, when it's a major disaster. For example, the people that invested at 6,000, right? Let's say they invested 10,000, right? It's dropped, it's climbed, what, 14%? 14 to 24%, right? They've made 14 to 24% profit on their investment. Now, let's say it drops back down to 6,500, right? They haven't lost anything. They've only lost money on the profit that they've made.
I disagree, though. Only because with the money they made from that climb, they're going to reinvest it back into the market again.
Which pushes it up higher.
And when it drops again, they're going to lose the money they invested.
But they haven't lost anything.
That's if it comes back to the point you started at.
Correct.
But see, we don't, you know, as you're saying, you know, at the higher it goes, the higher, the longer the drop. Therefore, the drop that we're looking at could be extreme.
Yes, it could be extreme, but there again, it might not be. My personal opinions don't enter into this, and my mathematical formulas still stand. But the thing to remember is that when the stock market climbs as high as it does, the money that you put in, at, let's say 6,000, is still going to be there if it climbs to 10,000 and then drops back to 6,000. You haven't lost anything. You've only lost profit. But if it drops lower than the amount that you put in, right, let's say it drops down to 5,000, then you have lost some serious money. You've lost your $10,000 investment.
Now, here's the point I want to get to next. We've always discussed how, you know, you would lose that money.
Okay.
That is not what would cause, you know, a major trouble spot as you're talking about.
I'm talking about a massive major drop.
Right. But what would happen next would be the banks, right? Because the banks, if I have it straight, it also invests heavily in the market.
Correct.
Using people's funds that they've deposited to invest and make more money which they in turn allowed them to have more money to lend out.
Correct.
Okay. Now, what I see is happening, now if I can get this straight, this will help our webpage folk out there who are following this, is that, first place, those people who borrowed money from the banks would be unable to pay back the money due to the losses they have sustained.
Correct.
Which would go out of business. Those people who have put money into the bank would see the banks failing due to the losses that they're taking from the investments they've made.
Correct.
Thereby creating a lessening of the confidence in the banking facility they go with. Therefore, wanting their money brought out. The banks themselves only hold about 20% of the funds that are actually deposited in them.
Correct so far.
So, with a run on the bank, when people want their money out of there, it would cause bank closing. Which would mean no
incorrect.
More.
You ever been to your bank and read the thing of the FIDE?
FDIC?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Depositors, Federal Depositors Insurance Credit?
Correct. Mm-hmm. That is for such an eventuality. That is so that your investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let us say your bank spends all your money that you have in there on investments and then goes broke.
Correct.
The government steps in, or the federal investors step in and reimburse you what the bank has lost in an insurance way.
Theoretically.
Up to the amount that you have in there.
But what we're talking about is a massive bank closing on a major scale.
No. You just missed something there. What happens if the federal government has to bail out the banks? Where does money come from?
It gets printed.
Which does what?
Creates inflation.
Which in turn does what?
Germany, 1936.
Wrong. 1926.
26. That's right. The Nazi majority party in 36.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So with a lack plus, the bank would be unable to lend any more money.
Correct.
Now, not being able to lend money would create people not being able to invest in businesses, homes, cars, and other things that keep America going.
Mm-hmm.
Because there'd be no credit available. Credit cards, the debt from the credit cards alone would cripple the economy.
Correct.
And with the banks closing, what would happen to the credit cards issued by the bank?
They would be worthless pieces of plastic.
Nobody would be able to use them.
Correct. Correct. And your economy being based on these worthless pieces of plastic would go, which is spelled PHEEEW.
Okay. All right. So anyway, people even with great credit, money in the bank, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Broke.
No.
I mean, they'd have money coming back, but at the inflationary levels that would be rising, they'd be essentially as good as broke.
No. You see, the thing is that the rich, how did they get rich?
They inherited it.
Okay. So people that went out and made money are quite capable of doing it again. They just have to learn or remember how they did it. People that inherited it, right, tend to have a tougher time because it was handed to them. But 9 times out of 10, the majority of them are astute enough to be able to make wise decisions with their money and make investments. I'm not saying making investments in stocks and bonds and dividends and shares and so on, but be able to make wise decisions in opening up a grocery store on the corner in the ideal location. It's those common people that invest in the market through their banks that have the problem. Let us say we take the house husband on the corner, right? That scrimps and saves and deposits, let's say, $2,000 in the bank account.
Right.
Or in a bank that invests his money in the market. That's the people that will suffer. Not the people that have lots of money. Not the people that are the serious investors that, admittedly, yes, they will be almost wiped out in a crash. You see what I'm saying? Those people that have the money will not be the ones that suffer.
Now, what about us folks who have no money whatsoever into the market?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our money is basically just hand to fist.
Mm-hmm. Hand to fist, huh? That's a strange expression.
But basically, it's not something, you know, we don't save up. You know, we just live on what we make, you know, buy what we need as we go.
Mm-hmm. Now, it depends if the places that you work at are investing or are invested in by people that will be affected by the market. Take, for example, your workplace, right? Okay. Let us say that the stock market crashes, right?
Right.
And people start to have a tough time and need to get rid of their communication devices, like the picture imaging device, their musical devices. They have to sell them to make money.
Right.
What are they going to do for entertainment? Where are they going to go?
Well, they'll go to the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
If they're running.
Correct.
If not, go down to the beach and watch a lovely sunset.
Mm-hmm. Which is good for the spiritual development.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but at the same time, you know, that's a very happy, kind of positive way of looking at it.
Yes, it is.
But that's not actually what would happen.
No.
What actually happened, people would have shit fits. Excuse my blink, 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 blink fits.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, sunsets at the beach are the last thing they're going to be thinking about.
No, people still enjoy the finer things in life. How much does it cost to go and watch a sunset?
It's free.
How much does it cost to go and watch a moonrise?
I would take a local example of, you know, on a smaller scale of someone who, you know, suddenly loses their job and doesn't have any income coming in due to the fact the income from the current market that he is in is dead.
Correct.
So, in that occurrence, you can see a small scale version of what the larger scale would look like.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we
said? Not a pretty picture.
Isn't that what we said back before this started?
Well, yes. Well, yes, we absolutely, you know, we called it on the money and on the webpage.
Mm-hmm. Before it happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's that being able to keep your head in the millions around that you are losing there.
And in this case, it looks more like it is not happening that way.
Correct. Now, as this is a small-scale example, on a larger scale, that would affect us on a local basis.
Correct. Let us say, for example, there is massive flooding in the Central Valley out happens, which takes out the price of food. If you go to your local supermarket, I watched Mark when he went shopping. I noted the prices. Ah, the prices are up. Only a couple of cents here and there.
How about the greens, the red peppers?
I believe they're up to, I think, £1.59. As to opposed to being something like £1.49 at about Christmas time. That's a jump of 10 cents per pound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the prices of everything jumping up, let's say anywhere from 1 cent to 10 cents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that you buy things by the pound.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending 1 to 10 cents more than you were 2 months ago.
Right.
Let's say you go and buy £5 it's Christmas time, or bell peppers, right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. Now, you're paying an extra 50 cents more for that £5.
Yeah, it's not horrible if you can afford it.
Mm-hmm. But if you can't.
But if you can't afford it, then you go through what we're seeing now, which is depression,
mm-hmm.
Anxiety,
mm-hmm.
stress, headaches,
mm-hmm.
and a basic tearing down of the ego mm-hmm. and personality.
Right. When you go in this cycle, you get depression, anxiety, stress, headaches, depression, anxiety, and so on. And this nice big circle going around and around. And as it goes around, it spirals up and in and in and in until it reaches a point where it can't go any further. And something has to happen at that point. Now, that point I see is a long way away. But it depends on how fast the spiraling is going. Can't work because I'm depressed. Don't want to go out and look for work. Don't want to go and look for work. Where am I going to get my money from? Worrying about money increases stress. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Headache. Headache. Oh, God. I've got a headache. I can't work. I'm depressed. Which goes back to stress. And so on.
Now, we start to see this increase in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, we had started.
Yes.
Then there are a couple options that will I foresee happening.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your opinion on this. People will tend to move out of that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the job, there's no job. There's nowhere to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other option is becoming a burden on the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now in either case, if you go somewhere else, you might find a job and be really and do well.
That's the key phrase, that might.
Correct. The other option is that your depression from before will carry over.
Mm-hmm.
You're already in a fragile state of mind. Let's say you get a job. Well, let's just say your lack of self-confidence now
mm-hmm.
Might be detrimental to your work ethic.
Exactly, and the spiral starts again.
Right. So, at what point is this on a large scale? When the banks start to go, or the Wall Street starts to go?
When the banks. Most people aren't concerned that much with Wall Street.
With Wall Street. But they don't see the tie between banks and Wall Street either, though.
Correct. Even if Wall Street crashes, right?
Uh-huh.
And drops down to 2,000 or 3,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be too concerned because the banks are still there until the banks start to go.
We'll just turn into burning shells of buildings at that point.
Basically, yes. And when they do that, then the cycle will really get underway. People will go, oh my God, I've got no money. What do we do?
Correct. Now, in our point, we'll get that maybe a month after it starts to go down in the big cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, not really. I guess it means all the way around, same time, right?
It depends. It really does depend on the environment that you're in, the situation that you're in.
Let's say you're in an urban farming zone.
Mm-hmm. Which is basically what this is.
Correct. Or Minden, Gardnerville, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see that as being part of it?
I would say that that would be the lucky end. The simple reason. But from time to time, when you drive around, you see farmers at the side of the road selling produce.
Mm-hmm.
But they're circumventing the whole entire chain. They produce food, it goes to a wholesaler, the wholesaler sells it to the stores, you go to the stores and buy it. They can sell it 10 to 20 cents cheaper than at the supermarket.
So if you have a supply of items, not produce so much, though that'd be good, but other items.
Luxury items.
Luxury items that would suddenly become, short order for high demand.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do the same basic thing as the farmers are doing.
Correct.
Circumvent the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because the system's going down.
Correct.
Now, with the talking about supplies,
Come here, Johnny. Come on. Come in.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't bite unless you want me to.
So, basically, what might be advisable is, let's say, the rental of a space. That would be able to hold, enough stock to go to circumvent the system.
Correct.
Now, so, the trouble is finding the stock and packing it away.
It depends on what you're interested in. Okay, let us take your most basic setup in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I look around the apartment up here, I will find towels, bed clothes, normal clothing, tampons, panty pads, shampoo, soap, toilet paper. All these things aren't on your survival list, are they? Not that you guys are going to need tampaxes or panty pads.
No. But the thing is, while those things all would make great commodities, what would be the most tradable good with the most money? Or, in this case, other tradable goods?
Things that you use that are disposable.
Well, this I disagree with on one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. But wouldn't something that people would look to in a panic situation be more advisable? For example, ammunition, guns, items to defend yourself with?
To a certain extent, yes. But
then they think about these other things.
Well, these other things are more for the recovery. Trade goods.
Well, that's why I'm dealing with this with you now, is on the two different stages we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Surviving up until the recovery point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so what I'm talking about is goods that you can use to get you through to the recovery zone, and those items which you can use during the recovery zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two different steps, two different kinds of goods.
Yes, but the part leading up to the start of the recovery will not be that long. For example, yeah, you have your crash, right? Everybody panics, right? Everybody fights amongst themselves. Once that's over, right, then it starts to recover. And it depends on how quickly people can get back on their feet and take the bull by the horns and push ahead with doing things. Yeah, the economy's collapsed, right? People are looking for food, anything to survive. Right? You don't use your food supply as trade goods because that draws attention to yourself. What you do use is things like, what one thing does everybody on your planet do? No, that would involve using your food supply.
Okay.
But you're close.
You go to the bathroom?
Correct. Everybody needs to use something to clean their bottoms. And they've been to the bathroom. Whether it's a leaf or newspaper or toilet paper. Everybody has to clean their tush.
Okay.
If you don't, it leads to unsanitary conditions and so on.
I never thought about it like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you stock up on toilet paper. Everybody needs that. But how often does somebody think about toilet paper? In all your survival movies, all your war movies, all your horror movies, have you ever seen anybody go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
But it's not very often, is it?
No.
So you have something that everybody needs.
So this is stuff for the recovery thing.
Correct. Easy, tradable goods.
All right, now you say the survival thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be very long.
Well, that definition of long depends.
Correct. And that's where I'm getting to.
Mm-hmm.
How long is long?
A year.
That's a long time.
No, it's not.
Well, not in live for 1,000 years, no.
I couldn't live for 1,000 years. I'd be lucky if I lived for 300 years.
But 1 year out of 300 is not very much. 1 year when all hell's breaking loose can mean an eternity.
It seemed like it, yes.
Sure. So probably the best bet,
mm-hmm.
if I got this right, is in the survival phase being as unnoticeable as possible.
Yeah. Being
well defended, well fed, and unnoticed whatsoever.
Well-fed, yes, but not appearing to be well-fed.
Correct.
If you go around looking sleek, well-fed, and not constantly looking for food, you're going to draw attention to yourself. People are going to say, what are those guys up to? Why do they always look so good, healthy, whereas we look like hell on wheels? So even if you have plenty of food, you still ration yourselves.
So essentially, you're not worried about, worrying about doing anything on supply side until the recovery phase begins.
Correct.
So the survival phase is merely survival.
Correct. Which works on primary functions of not drawing attention to yourself, keeping a low profile, teamwork, and keeping things in appearance with what is going on.
Blending
it. Once the recovery starts, then you can put yourself in a position where you don't advertise, you don't tell anybody, but somebody says to you, oh, I really would love to use some paper to go to the bathroom with. You can say, sure. Yeah, let me have a look around, see if I can help you.
Right. Okay. Anything else on that subject?
No, but I could say lots on that subject.
What was the next week?
Hmm? I suppose you want to talk to the next person.
Well, I'm not sure the time tonight. Besides, remember, I got to type all this in and insert it into a web page.
So you can paint a worst picture as you like. You have to think of everything in worst case scenario. You can look at everything in a positive or negative light. The experience itself is either positive or negative. There is no middle ground. To recover from the situation, you have to be able to balance things in such a way that you do not appear too prominent, but not too lowly. Because when you're weak and lowly, you become a target for those that are in better condition.
Mm-hmm.
In turn, you have to maintain a level where you are not noticeable, where you are in good condition and able to advance, but yet, again, not be noticed. So you see. Okay? Right. Who said I was leaving permanently?
Greetings and felicitations. Let us get quickly down to business. It's the last speaker was a little bit longer than we anticipated. Let us be quick and precise and to the point. Let us deal with the matters at hand. In dealing with those matters, let us look at the current situation of Dao at about 7:20, the death of Zhao Zedong, the ill health of Boris Yeltsin, and the spiritual development of various groups and individuals. Okay. All these things tie in together. The reason that they tie in together is that they're all related in a way. They all either involve growth or death. The spiritual groups in the stock market are linked together in the fact that they are growing. Boris Yeltsin in the former Soviet Union and Tao Zedong are all either dying or are dead, waiting for rebirth. This leaves open possible problems and possible remedies and improvements in situations. The current situation in China is a little bit up in the air. How will it affect Hong Kong, which is due to be handed over sometime soon, I believe? How does that relate to the former Soviet Union? That up in the air, not too sure. Well, at one time, the former Soviet Union and China were great allies. They still are to a certain extent. There are still political ties as well as economic ties and ethnic ties. With one up in the air and not quite sure, and one holding its breath and waiting leaves a possibility of unrest for those people within those various nations. Let us take China, for example, with approximately 11 million people on the move looking for work or in a depressed system. How are they going to respond to the death of one individual? Are they going to try and force their will upon the Central Committee? Or are they going to be more concerned with survival? How does survival affect the death of that individual? Well, the survival works this way. If they force their will for change upon the new governmental body, they have the power to change their environment and make life better for themselves. But seldom does this happen. If the same situation occurred in the former Soviet Union and Boris Yeltsin dies,
there will be major political upheaval of the minority forcing their will on the majority. This could be a positive or a negative effect. The fact that already Boris Yeltsin is a weakened individual opens up the possibility that this is already happening and they're just waiting for him to pass away and therefore be able to make their move. They may wait until he is so incapacitated and then make their move. But regardless of what happens in those countries, trouble is possibly brewing. Now let us look at the stock market and the growth of the spiritual organizations and groups. This comes from a more wealthier society that is fellowing like a mushroom. As it grows, people have more leisure time to pursue other interests. But if it grows too rapidly, as it is, it leaves openings for cracks, discontent, confusion, overbalance, and crash, which in turn means that these groups of individuals that have had more time for leisure, growth, and experimentation no longer have that option. So therefore, it becomes dangerous and detrimental for such a large growing community. You see what it will happen.
Mm-hmm. They'll get persecuted.
Correct. Those that have had the time to think and educate for them now do not have that time. They are going from hand to mouth, or as you stated earlier on, from hand to fist, to try for development and growth, crave for what they once had. What they once had is no